online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey not saying whether she intends to sign a proposed abortion bill into law. That measure, allowing an abortion only with a serious health risk to the mother, is a direct challenge to the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision that made the procedure legal. Ivey says she will review the legislation approved by lawmakers Tuesday night before announcing her decision. The U.S. has ordered all non-essential government staff to leave Iraq. In Colorado, prosecutors have charged the student suspected of opening fire at their Highlands Ranch school with murder and attempted murder and other counts, and are pursuing adult charges against the 16-year-old suspect. Retail sales slipped last month. The Commerce Department says that sales dropped 0.2% in April. That's after a big 1.7% jump in March. This is SRN News.
Mostly sunny today. There's a 10% chance of rain. Our high will be 83. This evening will be clear with an overnight low of 65. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. A 1 in 10 chance of rain is expected. The high, 85 degrees. For Friday, mostly sunny and a high of 89. Saturday will be sunny with a high of 89.
Hey, folks, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes. I'm here with my good buddy, my co-partner in crime here, Doug McCary, on this this Wednesday afternoon. By the way, I just want to mention, if you're listening, we are kind of wrapping up our teaching, correct, Doug? Is it next week? Is the last week?
Next week's the last week for this kind of semester.
Of this SWAT study.
Yeah, we take a break over the summer, but we do our SWAT retreat, our summer SWAT day, on August 3rd, a Saturday, and it's an 8-to-8 deal. You've been part of at least, I think, three or four of them now.
A number of them, yep.
And then we kick back off in September in Hebrews.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you are not involved, I just want to invite you, even though we're kind of coming to the end of our season. We had a guy who showed up today at our lunch study and is tuned into the radio. And so glad to have Joe show up today. And if you want to come to a study, listen, there's one again tonight at Eastside Community Church. That's Doug. Give us an address. Do you know?
That's up
off
on
memory.
Yeah. You caught me at a time where my brain is blank. It's Beach Boulevard. It's up by the San Jose Library.
Yes, yeah, just east of Kernan. Hodges. Yeah, Hodges.
It's east of Kernan, west of Hodges.
Right.
North of on the north side of Beach Boulevard. It's East Side Community Church. I think it's 3013. I think I want to say that.
You can't miss it. It's right next to the library there.
If you go to SWAT, you go to www.swatradio.com and click on the meetings link, it will give you the address of the 5 Jacksonville locations and the time they meet. And also, it will give you the locations of the Colorado Springs SWAT meeting.
Yep.
By the way, they meet tomorrow night out in Colorado Springs. So,
hey, if you want to have a study, we'll come to Colorado,
Well,
our good friend Rich Griffin out there is leading that study, and he's a great teacher. So,
So for tonight, Eastside is at 13301 Beach Boulevard from 7 to 8. So, we'd love for you to join us tomorrow at Jumpin' Jacks, 10131 San Jose Boulevard, and then Friday morning at 9 a.m. at the Village Inn. Tomorrow at Jumpin' Jacks at 6:30.
I'm going to be sleeping in on Friday, I'm telling you.
Are you? Yeah, think you will, huh?
No, that definitely won't happen.
Well, let's see, Bradley. It is Wednesday, hump day for us, May 15th, middle of the month.
Yeah, I got to just make a quick shout out. Today is my youngest of 5's birthday, Hannah.
Hannah
is celebrating 18 years today.
Wow.
So when I'm off the air here, I'm going to go take her shopping and dinner. So,
really?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
You're going to take her. Do you know where you're taking her yet? Or is that a surprise?
So Hannah is a super, very fit athlete. For anybody that knows Hannah, she's incredibly fit. In fact, she's going to swim in college next year. Actually, talking about August retreat, you know, I'm going to be sending off Hannah in August sometime, but she's going to Colorado State. Anyway, she is super nutritional. Mm-hmm. And there's a new restaurant over in the town center called, I think it's called True Food.
True Food?
True Food. I think that's right.
I haven't heard of that one.
Anyway, I've eaten there one time with her, and I'm not a cauliflower fan. But they'll make you like cauliflower because they make it in such a way. It is so good. So anyway, it doesn't sound real exciting, but the company's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and listen, I'm not dissing the restaurant. If you've ever been there, it is very good. It's just very healthy, and I don't typically eat super healthy. Thank you, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Well, I thought you might be taking her to Seasons 52 or something, no, you know.
But, hey, happy birthday, Hannah. I love you, sweet baby, and I'll see you in a little bit.
Well, anything else going on in the news today?
You know what?
Have you looked at the
news? I have not looked at the news. I know yesterday the market ticked up a bit after a few really tough days. But, you know, Doug, I got to tell you that the Bible study today was great. You've asked me to teach on Friday, so you know, I've been kind of studying, reading through it over the last 24 hours, and I don't ever like to take somebody else's notes, but there was so much in the lesson today, and I'm excited for those who are going to tune in next week as we'll unpack Matthew chapter 28.
Yeah, you know,
it's just such a power. There's so much in that, in those, you know, 20 verses.
It is the culmination of everything. And, you know, I know we're still in 27 this week on air, but the power of the resurrection is, I think, brought out in a good way. And, you know, one of the guys today at the lunch group said, his pastor said, you know, if Jesus was raised from the dead, then anything's possible.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, and, if you stop and think, if he's raised from the dead, then anything's possible. So,
hey, because he lives, we can live.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. There's a movie coming out called John Wick. It's a really bloody. John Wick is like an assassin. Unfortunately, I like action movies, but Keanu Reeves, a lot of people know him from The Matrix, which is an old movie now. Isn't that hard to believe that movie's so old that maybe even our kids don't know what that was? But that was like a cult movie for people. It was like cult being like, it's just one of those movies that in your lifetime you have to see, you know?
You know, it's funny. So it's with Keanu Reeves, John Wick, and The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
I never got into The Matrix.
You didn't?
No. I'm not a fantasy guy, which kind of that's more of a fantasy movie. But anyway. Hey, well, I don't know.
Well,
my kids give me a hard time.
Well, anyway, Keanu was on The Late Show the other night with Stephen Colbert. And he was on there promoting this movie coming out called John Wick. And it's the third installment in this series. And Colbert asked him, what do you think happens when we die? Now, the thing that, did you see Steve saying he saw that? So here's the thing. Steve Colbert lost his father and two of his brothers in a plane crash when he was 10 years old. A lot of people don't know that. Also, Keanu Reeves and his girlfriend lost their daughter a month before she was to be born. At 8 months. So, his girlfriend later died in a car accident, which was tragic. See, he thought about what he said, and then he said, I know that the ones who love us will miss us. And that was all he said. That was it. And Colbert just kind of looked into the camera, didn't know what to say, and kind of smiled. And think about that. I mean, There's no hope if you don't believe in the Bible, if you don't believe in, I mean, there's really no hope. And that's the thing we look at next week on air. Mm-hmm. And we're going to look at, we looked at today in SWAT, is the resurrection is the hinge point of our faith. And I know this is kind of teasing for next week, but the thing is, if you take that away, what hope is there?
Well, was it Paul, was it in 1 Corinthians 15, said, if there is no resurrection, if Christ did not rise from the dead, we are most to be pitied, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, what hope is there if there's not a resurrection? You know, Buddha's in the tomb, Muhammad's in the tomb, every religious leader's in the tomb except Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember back in Job 14, what Job said? He says, if a man dies, will he live again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see death all around us. I don't know if you saw the article about, there's some people just walking on the Appalachian Trail the other day, and this guy just goes berserk with a machete and kills people. He's just, people knew he was arrested a week earlier for harassing people up there. And then they let him out, and he goes up there, and he starts harassing these people again, pulls a machete out, and kills two of them. I mean, they're just walking, and I was thinking, that could be anybody who's just vacationing with their family. They just want to be up there. But you read about death all around us, and with no hope for a resurrected body, with no hope for life. I mean, you know, think about the future without Christ, the future without resurrection. And you know, you can say you believe or you don't believe, but does your belief have a basis in reality at any point? Because God, that's the thing, that God does not call us to a blind faith, a blind belief. He doesn't call us to that. The Bible, and specifically the resurrection, and I didn't read this quote today in the lunch SWAT, I did in the morning SWAT. But the resurrection of Christ has undergone more scrutiny probably than any other event in history and has withstood the test of time. I mean, people have been trying to destroy that since it happened. Even when it happened, and we saw today, the religious leaders tried to bribe the guards to spread this false rumor. But yet people's lives are still changed by Christ. Your life's changed by Christ. My life's changed by Christ. And imagine, you know, you and I've mentioned this before. Let's say we went into a doctor's office and the doctor goes, Mr. Sykes, I'm sorry to tell you that we found a cancer in you that's a very rare form of cancer, and it's malignant, and it's spread, and we see it all over your body. And I'm sorry to have to tell you this. There's just nothing that you're going to be able to do, except there is this one cure that we've identified that recently came up in the last few months that has been effective in 100% of the cases. Are you going to say, I don't believe I have it? I'm sorry. You know what? I don't trust your instruments, and I don't believe you're telling me the truth. What we think doesn't change truth. And yet we apply that spiritually. You got people all over the world that are misleading people, and it has been that way since the Pharisees tried to mislead people. So when we come back, we are going to focus today on this message of what salvation from him brings. In the crucifixion, God shows us examples of what can happen in a person's life when salvation comes into their life. Mm-hmm. We see it in the thief. We see it in the soldiers and the centurion, and even in Joseph of Arimathea. So,
well, it goes to the idea, Doug, that if you've encountered Jesus Christ, he will change your life.
Yeah.
You come to him as you are, but you don't stay that way.
Yeah.
So, hey, glad you joined us today. We'll be right back after the quick break. If you want to reach out to us, 844-777-7928, SWAT Radio. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
What I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in, under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Wednesday afternoon. Man, I love the words of that. You know, all the voices calling out to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really, Doug, you think about all the voices that do call out to us, they really drive fear into us.
But Brad, we've reached a time in our country where people say, you know what, Brad, I don't believe you're a man. I believe you're a woman.
Mm.
And that's my reality. Or, you know what, could you imagine, I don't believe Donald Trump is president. He's not my president, so I don't believe he's president. We've come to a place where we believe our opinions change reality, when in fact, reality is reality. We are people today who are basically delusional, or who are they have issues psychologically, are given safe spaces to believe what they right. want. And we're told that we have to allow our world to not only agree that they can do that, but we also have to say that that's an okay thing for them to be like that.
Yeah.
This is a messed up thing. When you start saying truth is objective by nature. You know, and that's why I love that song.
And I'm glad it is, Doug. Think about it.
Oh, my
gosh. Aren't you glad?
Yeah. You know, Isaiah said in Isaiah 5, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." I mean, when you think about what is summed up in what Isaiah said, that's our culture, Brad.
Oh, absolutely. Let me just speak these words that came out of that song. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. And the voice of truth says, do not be afraid. Of course, we're going to look at that next week as the women ran to the tomb. Don't be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. And yet we'll listen to anything else but truth in our society.
Satan tries to distract us in the same way that he tried to distract the disciples. He was constantly challenging their belief in Jesus. And he does the same thing today to us. How many, you know, today I shared about how many times did he say, oh, you have little faith. And this is to guys that were with him 24/7. They saw the miracles. Yeah. We have the written word of God. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, do not call yourself a Christian if you do not have faith in the risen Jesus Christ and what he said. Just, it's not a transaction that took place when you were a kid. It is a transaction that changes your allegiance and changes your loyalty and changes your standing. It changes everything. And that's what we've been covering, you know, in Matthew 27. We've been looking at the crucifixion. And the reason that the bad news is so bad is because we are rebellious against the Almighty God. And that is a bad thing. I mean,
how do you know? How do you accept good news without bad news? It's not good news if you don't understand the bad news. If it's cancer, what good is a cure if you don't even believe you have it?
That's right. You ignore credible, you know, credible prognosis where there has been evidence that if shown, you know, what is there, you just ignore it. And that's what people do. They think that by ignoring God's word, they don't have to deal with consequences. Sure. And we see this all throughout scripture. This is not something new to our culture. And that's why every argument we're dealing with today, do you think they didn't deal with that 2,000 years ago? Mm-hmm. Brad, you were there. You were at Caesarea Philippi where he talks about the gates of Hades. They were sacrificing children back then in the same way we're doing today. That you know, we call it abortion today. Back then, they were sacrificing kids too for their lives to be better. They were.
This is an inconvenience.
Yeah, they were sacrificing kids. They were praying to idols the same way we idolize today. They didn't care that the God of the universe had put a people on earth who had, people knew who the Jewish people were. They knew about the God that brought them out of Egypt. There were some who sought out that God because he drew them. Mm-hmm. But there were others who just chose to ignore it and live their own lives the way they wanted to. And what's so funny is, God was in sovereign charge of everything, so much so that when an evil king named Balak tried to get Balaam to curse God's people, he wouldn't let him do it. Mm. Three times, this king is saying, I'll give you all this gold, I'll give you all this silver. And he said, you can give me everything, but I can't say what God won't let me say, because he was a prophet, supposedly, of God. Mm. And so when you think about where we are, I come back to that question we ask at the beginning of 27. First of all, if you're listening today, what are you doing with your sin? You sin every day just like I do and like Brad does. What do we do with our sin? And if we don't know what we do with it, just saying, I'm sorry, God, is not the answer. You can say, I'm sorry, all day long. That does not take your sin away. You can feel remorse. Judas felt remorse. Pharaoh felt remorse. Saul felt remorse in the Old Testament. That does not take away your sin. It doesn't take away the penalty of your sin. So the question is, what are we doing? There's only one remedy for sin. It was the crucifixion, what Christ did to pay for that, a sin of you, me, and everybody else. But we also see we have to deal with the question of, who is Jesus and what are we doing with him? That's what Pilate said. What do you want me to do with this Jesus? The question is not what do we want Pilate to do? The question is, what are we doing with Jesus? Have we received him? Not just the information about him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's happened a lot.
Well, we've talked about it though, over the last couple of weeks, the fact that Judas certainly watched and witnessed the miracles that Jesus performed, and yet At the supper, Judas says, "Is it me, teacher?" You know, he looked at Jesus as the teacher, you know, the fact is, you even mentioned it today, the difference between a Hebrew disciple and a Greek disciple. You know, we're very Greek in how we look at Scripture, We love the head knowledge. We love the history. But the reality is the Hebrew view is I'm reading this so that it will transform my life, so that I will be like the teacher.
Yeah, and we should have a passion to be like the teacher. And you may be listening and going, well, how do I get that?
Yeah.
Well, think about anything or any person in your life you love. Why do you love them? Why do you love people? Why do you love anything? It's because of what it does for you. Nobody loves something because of what they can do for them. We love people because of something they bring into our life. True or false?
Oh, absolutely.
And so when you think about Jesus, do you know what he's brought into your life? Do you know what he's done for you? Do you appreciate that? See, so many of us don't. So many of us think about Jesus in this context of, yeah, he's going to take care of my sin when I get to heaven. We don't think about him taking care of our sin here and now, giving us the resurrection power, which we're going to look at next week, to overcome every obstacle in our life of spiritual growth.
Well, Paul Tripp says it's the gospel gap. It's the idea that I have Jesus to save me from my past for a future in heaven, but we're living today.
Yeah.
And the gospel is the power to live a life that honors and glorifies God today.
Well, we looked at Monday and Tuesday at this supernatural darkness that came over the land in Matthew 27 verses 45 to 66. We're in that last part of Matthew 27 where the wrath of God is being poured out. We saw that Jesus was the remedy for our sin in the middle part there, 27 through 44. He was the remedy for our sin on the cross. And we saw the reason for suffering is that because we've offended a holy and mighty God, that there has to be a very severe penalty for sin. Now, and anger and God's wrath is nothing more than a justified anger. That's a good response to evil, and that's what we see in him being poured down on Jesus. Well, and so Monday and Tuesday, we looked at this supernatural darkness that comes. It was dark supernaturally for the last 3 hours that Jesus was on the cross, and we saw that. We saw that the spiritual death of where the Father had to turn away from Jesus. He took what should have been on us. But we walk around in supernatural darkness. We walk around with spiritual death until we receive Jesus. And if we die in that state where we have not received Christ, we've not received that forgiveness, when we stand before the Father and all of our sins are played out before us and before him, and he asks for an account, then that spiritual death will be forever unless Christ steps in and says, this one's with me. He is not going to do that on the other side if he's not done it.
That's right. Well, it goes to that question that you presented last week. How am I dealing with my sin? What am I doing with my sin? Because it's going to be paid for. Either you're going to pay for it or Christ is going to pay for it. I want Christ to pay for mine. He already paid for
it. He already paid for it, and we should receive that. So when we come back, We're gonna jump into the last 15 or 16 verses, looking at forgiveness, spiritual power, and this supernatural vision of the proof that God gives, basically, of his payment for our sin, bringing us a relationship with the Father. And it affects people. It affects the thief on the cross. It affects the women who are there. It affects the centurion and the soldiers. It affects Joseph of Arimathea. We're going to look at all those, and then when we come back from the break.
Hey, glad you joined us today. We'd love to hear from you. It's a live broadcast. In fact, our friends up in coastal Virginia, we'd love to hear from you. Broadcasting at 100.1 FM, 1010 AM. We would love a call, 844-777-7928. If you have a comment or question, please feel free to call us, or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. We'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Alabama lawmakers have passed a near-total ban on abortion.
If signed into law, the measure would be the most restrictive abortion ban in the U.S. The state Senate on Tuesday passed the bill that would make performing an abortion at any stage of pregnancy a felony. The bill now goes to Alabama Governor Kay Ivey. She'll decide whether to sign the bill into law.
That's correspondent Andrew Stewart reporting. Meanwhile, Kentucky, Mississippi, Ohio, and Georgia recently have approved bans on abortion once a fetal heartbeat is detected. At a memorial service honoring fallen police officers today, President Trump called on Congress to secure the nation's borders.
The president not only paid tribute to officers killed in the line of duty, he urged Congress to secure the borders, stop so-called sanctuary cities, and end catch-and-release policies.
Not one more American life should be lost because our lawmakers failed to secure our borders.
And the president said anyone convicted of killing police officers should get the death penalty.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Also at townhall.com, South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham is proposing to make it harder for Central Americans to win asylum in the U.S. He's urging President Trump to cut an immigration deal with Democrats that would include that idea.
No matter how high the wall will be built, no matter how many drones you have, no matter how many agents you put at the border, they'll keep coming because they want to get caught.
Graham would require Central Americans to apply for asylum in their home countries, not at the border. President Trump meeting with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to discuss Iran. This comes after the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad ordered all non-essential, non-emergency government staff to leave Iraq immediately. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 154 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
No active accidents, but bridge maintenance is blocking the northbound lanes of the Main Street Bridge heading into downtown. That's blocking all the lanes there. Also, there's a disabled vehicle on the West Beltway 295 northbound before US 17, that's Roosevelt Boulevard, and another disabled vehicle on I-95 on the northbound ramp from University Boulevard. Tonight, expect mostly clear skies, low 62. Thursday, mostly sunny, high 87.
Face down in the desert now, there's a cage locked around my heart. I found a way to drop the keys when my failures were. Now my hands can't reach that far.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad to have you on board with us today. You want to call, we'd love to hear from you. 844-777-7928. If you have a question or a comment for Doug or myself, you can send that to ask@swatradio.com. I was visiting with a couple of guys at the Bible study today who they love to just listen in. They just kind of tune in, never feel prompted to call because I don't know if they just like listening to a couple of knuckleheads like us. But anyway, we're glad you tuned in. We seriously would love to hear from you.
Especially if you're in Virginia.
Oh, absolutely. We kind of wanted to know. In fact, I had a number of guys ask today, you know, how are things going up there in Virginia now that y'all are on the air up there? I said, you know what?
I hope they hear us.
I hope so, too. If you hear us, call us. 844-777-7928.
And if you don't want to be on air, you can actually just send us a quick email at ask@swatradio.com, ask@swatradio.com, and that's a way. You can also shoot us a message on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at SWAT Radio Talk.
And if you want to call, Steve will take your call. I'm looking at Steve right now. He doesn't have anything to do.
He's sitting
so
right there.
He's loving. He's just listening.
He's
to
a
us.
Pretty easy screener, too.
Oh, you know? He's totally easy.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you don't want to be on air, just tell him, hey, I don't want to be on air, but here's my question.
Yeah.
So anyway.
He'll do that.
There we go.
Well, you know, Brad, as we jump into Matthew 27, going back to our text 45 through 66 through the end of the chapter, we talked about the crucifixion and what it brings. We talked about it showing us the remedy of our sin is the cross. The reason for suffering is this terrible penalty of sin, the rescuer of our soul in Jesus. We saw that it shows us the separation from him brings us darkness and spiritual death. But today we're looking at verses 51 through 66, and something amazing happens in verse 51 that shows us that salvation came out of this event, and God wanted to make a very clear statement about all the old ways that people used to connect with him, and now there is a new way to connect. So why don't you read verses 51 through 66 out of Matthew 27, and then we'll talk about this, what salvation brings from him, how the crucifixion shows what salvation brings.
All right, Matthew 27, beginning in verse 51, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.' There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee." Verse 57, "When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, 'Sir, we remember how the impostor said while he was still alive that after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he is risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first.' Pilate said to them, 'You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can.' And so they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard."
So what we see in starting in verse 51 is we see what salvation from him brings, and God showing us through the crucifixion and the events surrounding it that the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now, right before that happened, Brad, it said he yielded up his spirit. He sovereignly gave up his spirit. He didn't have it taken from him. He gave up his life here. He did not have to. He died because it says he yielded. Matthew's bringing out the fact that he was in control.
Control of life and death.
The two other thieves had to have their legs broken to keep them from pushing up. Not Jesus. He yielded his spirit. But don't miss what happened. Over in the John account, I think, it was the word telos was used. And that means the debt is paid. It was the past perfect tense to tetelestai. It means that the debt was paid, to tetelestai. And it was the past perfect of when he said, that was one of the sayings of Jesus on the cross. If you look at that, it was over in John chapter 19. I'm sorry.
John chapter 10.
John chapter, not 10. It's not 10. It says John 19:30, when he says, "It is finished."
Right.
It literally is a Greek term. It's a Greek, a term, telos, which means it's like a commercial term for a receipt. Like you would go to the store and they would come back after you paid them. They give you a receipt here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Right. They would be telos. Gotcha. Well, the past perfect of that is tetelestai, tetelestai, which means the debt is forever paid. It is forever done. And after that, then the temple, in the temple, the veil of the temple breaks. That veil is between the Holy of Holies. And when that happens, that means direct access to God. Mm-hmm. No longer a sacrifice, because Jesus fulfilled that.
No longer a curtain needed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There's no longer a curtain needed. And if you flip over to Hebrews chapter 9, it's very instructive to go to Hebrews. We're going to be studying Hebrews in the fall, by the way. But over in Hebrews chapter 9, and starting down, I think, around verse 11, if you look over at that, it says, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by the means of blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify, because what would happen is in the Old Testament, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies with blood,
mm-hmm.
and he would put that blood on the altar.
Of a goat or a pigeon.
And it would be the sacrifice for the sins of the people. And the high priest was the only one to go in there. And he goes on to say, the writer in 14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve him? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promise and eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. So he died so that we could receive the inheritance. And he just goes on to talk about that. And it says in verse 21, in the same way he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and the vessels used in worship, indeed, under the law, everything is purified with blood. So he all the Old Testament stuff was fulfilled when Jesus died that day. The temple was shook. The veil was torn from top to bottom, indicating this was not a man thing. This was a God thing, and it made direct access to God possible forevermore. No further need for sacrifice, no further need for a priest. In fact, in John, I think it's John or 1 John, says that we don't need anybody to teach us. The Holy mm-hmm. Spirit will teach us.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on in chapter 10, starting in about verse 11, to deal with the same issue and talking about how every priest stands daily. But when Christ, in verse 12, had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies, by single offering, he's perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So that's why he used the word tetelestai. It's done forever, making it possible for us to be in a relationship. And when we come back, we're going to look at those people that I mentioned, specifically at Joseph of Arimathea, how he came out of the shadows at his death. Before his death, he was in the shadows. Mm. But afterwards, he came out of the shadows, was very public. So if you're out there in a Christian in the shadows, are you allowing him to be your access to the Father? Because if you are, you shouldn't be living in the shadows. You should be very public about your faith.
Yeah, and the curtain's been torn in two, so you can come directly to him.
Yeah.
You don't need a priest. Glad you joined us today. We'll be right back. 844-777-7928. Give us a call.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
All the colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind, every dream that reaches out.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Is that true of you? For as long as you shall live, will you testify to love?
That's good words there. Are you going to be a shadow Christian that lives in the shadows with 95% of the other people that profess to be believers in Christ in this country?
You know, Doug, I think we addressed this with a caller who called in a couple of weeks ago, and one of our SWAT brothers today after lunch asked me a similar question. Why is it, and we're going to look at this maybe a little bit next week, is the idea, why was it the women who were there at the crucifixion? Why was it the women who were coming to the tomb? You know, and this guy asked me, why is it that women seem to be far more engaged in the ministry of the gospel than men? Most men are in the shadows, really. You know what I mean? And, I only have an opinion. I don't really know why specifically, other than I think women are tender. They're more compassionate. Men are prideful. We're hard-headed, stubborn.
Well, you know that—
We're fearful, actually.
They're better listeners. You know, in Scripture, every time God talked to a man, he had to call him twice, Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses, you know.
Good point.
He doesn't ever do that with women. Have you noticed that?
I think of Ephesians where he says, you know, she's a weaker vessel.
Yeah.
You know, she's tender. She's softer. I think as we look at this text even now, you know, Joseph of Arimathea was in the shadows a bit.
Him and Nicodemus both.
Sure.
And they were both members of the Sanhedrin. They were both people who wanted the kingdom of God. They wanted it, but they were afraid of what it would cost them, and so they kept their identity private. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you hear a lot of times people say, well, you know, my faith is a very private thing. Listen, Jesus did not save anyone for their faith to be a private matter. It is a personal matter, yes, but it is a public thing.
Well, I mean, as we said, one of our main core principles at SWAT is to make disciples. Well, you can't make disciples in silence.
and to engage witnesses. We're to be witnesses.
Right,
and
right.
And so here's the thing. Look at what happened, Brad, after you talked about 51, the curtain temple of the temple was torn. The earth shook. Rocks were split. It was an earthquake. Mm-hmm. The tombs were opened up. Bodies were gone. And it was so earth-shaking that the centurion, now you're talking about a guy who commands 100 Roman soldiers. This is not some fresh recruit. And his soldiers, keeping watch, they saw the earthquake and what took place, and they were filled with awe. And they said, truly this was the Son of God. Over in another account, it says they worshiped or glorified God. So many commentators believe they came to Christ that day. God on the cross gave people the ability through salvation to be in an eternal relationship with him. And it doesn't matter what they had done before. It didn't matter that he was a Roman centurion. It didn't matter that that thief on the cross had never done anything good, probably his entire life. And it didn't matter that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had been in the shadows, even though for us, we would look at that and we get upset at them looking back. We probably would have been with them.
No doubt.
And yet, there's a spiritual power unleashed in the crucifixion that we see. And that spiritual power affects the women who are there. They're not afraid to be at the cross. It affects John. He's there. It affects the boldness of these centurions. Do you realize that when the centurion and the soldiers started proclaiming this is the Son of God, that that was going against all they had been taught, that Caesar is God, Caesar is the Son of a God? Not this man. To say that could have brought them the death penalty.
Right.
And yet they were bold enough to do it. But I really want to focus on Joseph, because the text in 57 goes into Joseph of Arimathea, and it says he was a rich man. And you know, if you flip back to Isaiah 53, and we're not going to read it, but it says that he was with criminals. His place was to be with criminals in death, but it was with a rich man. So Matthew inserts the wealth of Joseph of Arimathea there to let the readers know that this is fulfilling prophecy. And there's a guy named Ken Geyer, who is a very gifted writer, who wrote about this little time in Scripture, talking about not only Joseph of Arimathea, but Nicodemus. And I want to read what he said, because he has such a way with words. I thought it would be good to hear it from his point of view. And so I just want to ask you, if you're listening for a second, go with me to this place. Let your imagination picture what he is writing when he says, "Darkness is all over Jerusalem. A great light has gone out of the world. Normally, the dead are left on the cross as food for vultures or wild dogs, as a reminder that crimes against the empire doesn't pay. But the religious leaders have asked that the bodies be removed before sundown, because their next day is a holy day. In fact, it's a high holy day. It's the Passover and it's the Sabbath." Such irony. So calloused in their killing of the Savior, yet so careful in keeping of the Sabbath. It's also ironic that it's two religious leaders who come to bury Jesus, two who, by the way, did not consent to the plan. These men are among Israel's most influential, Joseph of Arimathea, rich and prominent in the Jewish Sanhedrin, and also Nicodemus, who was a teacher, a great teacher. Both have kept their relationships with him in the shadows. They feared the controversy. They feared the consequences. They did not want their faith to be made public. But now that Jesus is dead, a new boldness emerges. Joseph goes directly to Pilate for permission to give Jesus a proper burial. To Pilate, the very man who sent Jesus to the cross, he risked his life to do that. "Permission granted," he said. "Joseph brought the linen, Nicodemus brought the spices." But when they came to the cross, they're stunned to view the lifeless slump of flesh that was once such a vital Savior. They begin to weep, both of them, for all the things they didn't say, the things they didn't do, for staying in the shadows. And as they take him off the cross, Joseph wrestles to get his wrist and his feet off the nails. They see his head wounds, the punctures from the thorns, his face badly swollen and discolored from all the fists from the Jewish guard and the Roman guard, his shoulders pulled out of socket for 6 hours on the cross, his hands and his feet exposing ragged muscle and white bone, his back and his rib cage clawed from the scourging. Nicodemus sees before him the very incarnation of what Isaiah said. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form was marred behind human likeness. In the quiet courtroom of their hearts, they realize loving in Jesus in private was just another way of what Isaiah proclaimed. They despised him, and they esteemed him not. Both are ashamed for not doing more, not objecting more forcefully. Shouldering their guilt, they pick up the body to take it to Joseph's tomb. Suddenly, Nicodemus remembers one thing from Isaiah, another saying from Isaiah, another prophecy. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in death. It's as if Jesus brought them both to this moment, and they realize they've spared Jesus the shame of a criminal's burial in a garbage dump, and now they have come out of the shadows. And Brad, that is a picture of God working in their hearts to make them bold, which is what he wants to do with each one of his children. He does not want us to stay in the shadows, and there's a spiritual power that comes forth when we realize the salvation that he gives us. And we're not afraid anymore. And I think when he died, Joseph of Arimathea, and I think Nicodemus realized he had said he's going to die. They knew the scriptures. They knew Isaiah 53. They knew Isaiah 52. And they went there feeling some kind of boldness to do that. Touching a dead man here, right, that kept them from eating Passover with everybody.
Do you believe that they maybe begin to see how they were actually part of the prophecy?
Yeah, I think so.
They begin to see their purpose?
I think they did.
In God's sovereign plan?
I think they did. And there was a spiritual power there. They begin to have a supernatural vision and to see things, like you said, from the prophecy. But in the last part, verses 62 through 66, it says that the chief priests, the Pharisees, gathered, and they wanted to protect the tomb. They put a seal on it. They put a guard there. And guess what? There was a Roman guard, a Roman seal, and what we're going to look at next week is we're going to look at this supernatural proof that God gave us that you can't see without the vision he gives you. Hmm. But you can't have that vision without salvation. Hmm. The salvation, he gives it. That's why we're dead on the bottom of the ocean floor. He has to give us eyes to see, or we can never see it. You can read the English print all day long, and you won't get it until the vision of the Holy Spirit is given to you to see it.
It's beautiful. Well, I know you're going to be gone tomorrow.
I'm going to be in Pittsburgh tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. Pray for me as I'm speaking up there to the Locking Arms. You got Tom McLeod from Transform Jacksonville tomorrow. David Gray on Friday. I'm sure you guys will pin it down.
Well, in fact, we'll probably just kind of wrap up, put a little bow on this chapter, and look forward to kind of digging in to Matthew chapter 28 next week on the air. If you want to get involved in the study, come tonight to Eastside Community Church, 13301.
Yeah,
that's pretty good, right? 13301 Beach Boulevard.
That's good, man.
And that's at 6:30. No, that's at 7 tonight.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Jumpin' Jack's House of Foods at 6:30 on San Jose Boulevard. Friday down in St. Augustine at the Village Inn.
Yep.
Hey, go back to SWATradio.com. You can listen to past broadcasts there. And Doug, have a great trip, brother.
Thank you. All right. You guys have a good one.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warfare.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WAT.